Glory to God. Amen. Everybody that loves God, would you stand? Amen. I'd like to dismiss our children to Children's Church at this time, and I'd like to turn your attention to the book of Jude, the 14th verse, second last book in the Bible, powerful book. And I'm reading from verse number 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds that they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." We're talking about something that may be just down the road. Based on what's going on with Israel, folks, this is no time to play church. This is time to get to a city of refuge and stay in the city. Don't be coaxed out. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in administration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, build up yourselves. But ye, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. They, but you, beloved. And then Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4 is a oneness chapter, and we love the quote, verse 5, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." We love that. Verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? Why? Why is the ministry here? Is it here to entertain? Is it here to give just direction? It says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building of the body of Christ." So the ministry is so the body can become stronger and stronger and stronger, that we understand the workings of God, that a miracle could happen at any second in this place. Any second. Amen. I remember preaching some years ago on a Sunday morning, and there was a blind woman in the congregation, and all of a sudden she stood up and said, "I can see." That shouldn't be something that surprises us. Amen. And then one more scripture, this scripture you'll love. 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. Verse number 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Many of us can say amen to bodily exercise profiteth little. But it says, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, promises you can stand on right now, but also of that which is to come. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word. Make it alive and cause us to be alive because of it. By the hearing of the word, faith moves into this building, God. And Lord, do the miraculous in this place tonight. God, there are needs in here that haven't even been spoken, but you're well aware of them. And God, allow it to happen. This is your church, God. You take authority over every situation in here. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like the ushers to lock the doors, because tonight we're going to talk about bodybuilding and exercise. There's some of you who will try to sneak out of here. It's not going to happen. Glory to God. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, we know what that is. But there's a whole world that doesn't understand what praying in the Holy Ghost is. In fact, there's a whole world, even denominational churches, that have no idea what the Holy Ghost really is. Here, God tells us that we are to be bodybuilders, building up ourselves. I heard a governance study not too long ago that said sitting is not good for your health. That's why I stand during the preaching. It leads to poor circulation. This is what the government study, $1 million. It leads to poor circulation, high blood pressure, weight gain, and overall poor health. You mean sitting on the couch all day is bad for me? I'm shocked. It was well worth $1 million, I'd say. The key to Jude 20 is that we need to do something to build ourselves up spiritually. We have to do something. We can't just by osmosis walk into a church and become spiritual without doing anything. I don't feel anything. I don't feel changed. Well, what have you done in order to experience some change in your life? It's just not enough to eat right. There must be some exercise. The world knows how important it is to exercise the body. There's a gym on just about every block, every place. There are gyms that you can get into anytime during the day or night, 2 o'clock in the morning. There's all this shiny equipment, chrome. You know, shiny chrome. I don't know why they do that. They say that women are attracted to diamonds, but men are attracted to chrome. Did you ever see Harley Davidson that didn't have chrome on it? You know? And I remember when I was just a kid, I poured concrete into 2 empty paint buckets and then put a steel rod between it because my dad couldn't afford weights, but I knew that somehow I wanted to build up some muscles, and so, you know, I made my own weights. There is an emphasis on core strengthening today. They think that if you strengthen your core, your body, that all of the other things just seem to, you know, do better. A year ago when I had some back problems, I wasn't able to exercise, and I could not believe my stamina was depleted. They have been bringing weight training into nursing homes and have great results, so it doesn't matter how old you are, you have to exercise. So there's no question, we all need to exercise for a healthy body. There are people starting to leave right now, I noticed. But what about the body of Christ? Amen. You know what? What's true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. They recommend 20 minutes a day to keep healthy, but what about our spiritual health? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 that we were to run the race. What about Isaiah 40 and 31? They run and they shall not be weary. Weary in the Hebrew means tired and exhausted. Sometimes we're tired and exhausted, not because we've just been running and doing, but we haven't taken the time to build up our spiritual bodies. So how do we exercise the spiritual body? Is there a special thing that we do? Is there a special equipment? Do you have a personal trainer for your spiritual strength? You see, if this body of believers is not strong, and that means individually we are not strong spiritually, we will not be able to endure or run the race that God has set before us. God's not looking for a bunch of wimps. I'm not talking about bodybuilders. I'm talking about those who are on their spiritual game. The apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4 and 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. So we have built-in trainers, according to the word, in order to perfect and to build people up. Amen. Sister Lori Ledger is one of these professional trainers, and I should have her come up and do some exercises up here for us. But I guarantee you, she will push people further than they want to go. Just one more rep, just one more service. Just one more prayer meeting. Come on. Come on. You can do it. Come on. Just a little more. Are you eating right? Are you getting your vegetables every morning? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Here God has given us personal trainers to strengthen or build up the body of Christ. They become this specialists on the operation of three indispensable pieces of equipment designed to build up the body of Christ. And if we will use these three pieces of equipment on a regular basis, aren't you glad you came tonight? You will be guaranteed strength and good spiritual health. But knowing and doing, two different things. Shall we begin? I'll be your personal trainer for this session, so don't overdo it and hurt yourself. When I was in high school, I went to a parochial school until high school, and when I got to high school, I had to take gym, as most everybody in here did, and I had a really mean gym teacher, just pushed us, you know, and I learned about jumping jacks. Anybody know what a jumping jack is? Yeah. So he taught us how to do jumping jacks, you know, and we couldn't leave without doing so many. And then there was the sit-ups, you know, and you'd lay down like this, and then, is there somebody who could help me? and then there was, you know, you can do this at home. And then there was the push-up, you know. I love the push-up, you know. Now, when I got to the service, I had a drill sergeant who was mean. I don't know, these mean people follow me all the time. And I already knew how to do jumping jacks, you know. So I felt pretty good about that. But then I didn't do something exactly the way he wanted me to do it. And so he said, get down and give me 10. Anybody been in the service, you know what that means. 10 push-ups. And I made the mistake of saying, which hand, Sergeant Drill Instructor? And so that led to more than 10. It led to 50. And then every time he'd see me, he really liked me, I think. He just had a hard time expressing himself. He would have me do 10 more just for fun. So he propelled me into doing more. I'm looking for somebody in here. You know, somebody who looks athletic. No, you can sit down. You, come on. Now, you were in the service, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I mean, look at the shoulders on this guy. And the biceps. Don't mess with this guy, I'm telling you. So, you know how to do jumping jacks, right?
Yes.
Okay, give me one. Give me two. Come on, three, four, five, six. You can do more. You can do it faster. Keep going. Over and over and over and over. Thank you. All right. Glory to God. Amen. So, physically, that's doing pretty good. Now I'm looking for somebody who will exercise spiritually. Sister Schumacher, bring your 110 frame up here right now. Glory to God. Come on. Amen. Okay, you demonstrated how we exercise physically. Now I'd like her, I haven't talked to her about this, demonstrate how we exercise spiritually. Wow. Wow. Thanks. I will pay for that. Well, we read Jude 20 that praying in the Holy Ghost builds up the body of Christ. In other words, it's a vital necessity to our spiritual health and vitality to pray with speaking in tongues. Now, I've taught this many, many times, but I don't know if it's really sunk in. We really need to enter into the spiritual realm. And there isn't anything that says that we're doing better than speaking in tongues. There isn't. This is not just a one-time experience when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but it is an ongoing dialogue with God. It's a period of time in which we're building ourselves up spiritually, and we're praying for things that we don't even know what we should pray for as we ought, according to Romans, the 8th chapter. It's more than words which we can't understand that fall from our lips. These are powerful thoughts flowing out of the mind of Christ. These are powerful thoughts and words flowing not out of your mind, but out of the mind of Christ. And when you have the mind of Christ and you're speaking the words of Christ, I'm telling you, I feel stronger in the Spirit as I do that. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. The mind of Christ flows out of us as we speak in another language. Praying in tongues allow us to pray for things that we are not aware of. And you need to exercise every day. Really? Amen. Glory to God. There's no restraints. Amen. Paul said, I'm glad that I speak in tongues more than you all. Must have been from Tennessee. But he spoke in tongues. And he wanted to communicate with God. It permits us to intercede, to partake in Christ's passion, and participate in a spiritual mission that God has laid on us. You know, and I wonder sometimes as I'm praying in another language, is it about my family? Is it about this church? Is it something about Korea? Is it something in Africa? Is God using me on a mission in order to save somebody, to protect somebody, to heal somebody? Because God answers prayer. But if I don't understand the situation, but the mind of Christ flows through me, hallelujah. I feel like I've just accomplished something in the spirit. I hear so many people say, I just don't feel like I'm used of God or that I have a position. You have a position. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, God wants to use you every day as an ambassador. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 24, it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Amen. Glory to God. Ephesians 6, would you turn there? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And you know, if you're cognizant that there are situations always going on within the church that we need to pray, we need to pray every day in the Spirit. Now, if you haven't prayed in the Spirit for a while, that's an easy thing because God wants to allow you to have that liberty in doing it. And all you have to do is press into the kingdom of God. I remember when I was first filled with the Holy Ghost, I remember going home that night to see if it worked at home as well as in the church. I remember locking myself in the bathroom and seeing if I could have that same experience, and sure enough, there it was. But then, you know, you lose some faith to a certain extent. And then I found myself every time I got to the church, I'd have to go to the altar and I had to worship God and I had to press in, and then all of a sudden there would be that language again. But after a while, just like a child has his first word or two and phrase, eventually it's easier to speak in the Spirit than it is in the natural, because you don't have to think about it. It's God flowing through you. Hallelujah. So we see how praying in the Spirit is essential to our spiritual well-being. Please stay with me. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 tells us, praying without ceasing, always talking to God, or at least being cognizant of God's presence, or thinking about God. You know, Mary and Joseph were on a trip back from the Passover, and it was 3 days before they realized Jesus wasn't with them. And I don't want to get to the place where I realize, well, it's Wednesday and I haven't even talked to God. You can get to the place where, you know, we just put God on a shelf for another service. Well, where did I put my Bible? You see, because we become weak and defenseless if we won't pray. Another piece of equipment in God's gym is praise. Sincere praise is a body builder. We just finished our workout for Jesus tonight in our song service. You know, some of you not only have song service, but you have the exercise time as well. As your personal trainer, I'm constantly encouraging you to exercise your right to worship. Amen. And I know some perhaps get a little tired of it. Come on, let's worship. Come on. I know, let's really worship God tonight. But you know, that's what a personal trainer does. Amen. That's the perfecting of the saints. That's the building up of the congregation. Amen. Come on. You can do it. Come on. You can praise. I mean, okay, song service is over, so we will not have any worship or praise during the preaching. Anybody want to worship God right now? Yeah. Anybody? So we've got these little confines that we only do it at this point in the service, instead of what's wrong with all of the time. God's still here. He has not left the building, folks. Praise and worship develop strong spiritual muscles that allow us to perform the required spiritual tasks that God gives us for every day. You know, see, if you walk out of a service and you haven't worshiped God or you haven't spoken in tongues, then when God requests you do something, you're thinking, me? Why me? When you've had a sense of God is all over me, then you're up for the task. And God, you want me to pray for that person? Absolutely, I'm up for the task. See, I've been exercising. There's a big difference in watching an exercise video and actually participating in it, you know. Some of you have stacks of videos that are this high. You have exercise equipment in your basement and in the spare room that you hang your clothes on. But don't get to that place when you're in church. Just hang your clothes on Frank Tompkins and we'll be all right. Coming to church and standing in the pew is not building up your spiritual body. Amen. Anemic saints will not worship God. Really? Really? That long? We went over the allotted time tonight, you know? We're not... Listen, I'm going to be 68. I'm still standing during the entire service. Hallelujah. They just don't understand the great value of exercise. It's so much easier to worship in a group, yes, as in church services, amen, than just by yourself. You see, we got that's why people gather together in these gyms in order to encourage themselves and wear these neat outfits. Amen. So we get to wear the neat outfits, huh? Get your best, your ties, you know, the best stuff. Ladies, you should be ecstatic about coming to church in your exercise uniforms. Hallelujah. Man. After worship service, I walk down here and I see a hole there and a hole there and a hole there. It's from these spike heels that these women are wearing, you know, worshiping. And so it's appropriate, you see. It's so much easier. And that's one of the reasons that it says in Hebrews 10 and 25, now listen to these words, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Amen. Come on, come on, keep going, come on, come on, come on, musicians, yes, the special was, oh, wow, exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. There are people who are gathering themselves in gyms right now because it encourages them by other people. Glory to God. Now, praise is not limited to church. Exercise must be done daily. Therefore, we have to learn to praise at home and in our car, out in the woods, on the job. Have you ever worshiped driving down the road, danced for joy while home alone, praised God at the top of your voice in the shower, or just worshiped softly while in a private devotion or even at work? Worship and praise strengthens the body, whether with hundreds or just by yourself. If you feel down, if you feel like you have a headache or you have an achy back, don't reach for the extra strength Excedrin. Just lift your hands and start worshiping God and saying, God, I love you. You've taken care of this right now. The last piece of equipment is one that builds the body up more than any. It's the preaching of the Word of God. It builds you up. It gives you information and knowledge and strength. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you hold the word up as a banner. And there's no weapon that is formed that can defeat us, you see, because we have knowledge, we have information. When God said it, it's over, that's it. Nothing else is going to change it. Hallelujah. Would you turn to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter? 2 Timothy 4, verse number 1. Paul's charging Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I read an article today in the Pentecostal Herald, and the title just grabs you. It says, Why I Don't Believe in Growing Churches. And it went into five different areas of why this author didn't believe in churches that are growing. They're not growing because they're growing because of entertainment. They're growing because of watered-down doctrine. They're growing because they're trying to make people feel good and have less church. And he said, a church that grows like that is an anemic church and will never, ever be strong. They'll never see the evidence of God. They'll not see the miracles of God. Hallelujah. You know, and when that happens, well, then we have to turn to entertainment to get people to come, but they're not going to feel the presence of God. And if you're not going to feel the presence of God, this world's got a lot better entertainment than whatever we could produce. Hallelujah. If there is not strong apostolic preaching, the church then becomes anemic and weak. The preached word is the essential protein of the body for healthy growth. Preaching that is not watered down or diluted, preaching that convicts and instructs the saint to go on to perfection. Come on, I know this might be difficult, but I'll tell you what, if you'll do this, you're going to have muscles, you're going to have opportunity, you're going to have strength in order to overcome whatever comes into your life. True believers hunger for preaching to inspire and encourage them on their way to heaven. Amen. Preaching is the food for the body to grow. Amen. Not just clever thoughts and facts that stroke the intellect. We can all come up with phrases that really sound good, but preaching that feeds the soul and builds the body. Amen. That's why I said, and I can't get this thought out of my mind, a week ago Wednesday with six cities of refuge, the city could not be called a city unless it had walls and it had a watchman, somebody who warned everybody. You see, you can't feel safe if there aren't walls of standards and holiness. You can't feel safe unless you know there's somebody looking out for your soul and telling you, look out. Be careful, you see. You can't feel safe in that at all. And just like Joab and Abner, Joab coaxed Abner out of the walls and then stabbed him and killed him. And the enemy wants that. He wants to coax us out of the church because he knows that this is a city of refuge. He cannot get at us as long as we're in the city. These three pieces of spiritual equipment, praying in the spirit, praise and preaching, work together to build God's people into a force of evangelism. And the whole purpose for the church is to reach out to other people. The whole purpose of the church is not to just entertain us and allow us to have a great time together. The whole purpose is to evangelize. And when we get excited about what God is doing, if nothing's happening in the church, you have no incentive to tell anybody anything. But if God heals somebody miraculously here tonight, and I believe that God can heal somebody here miraculously, what's going to happen tomorrow? You're not going to be able to keep your mouth shut because you saw, you experienced a miracle. It not only builds up the body, but what happens is it builds up your immune system. So you're not as susceptible to things coming into your life when you got good preaching, amen, speaking in tongues, amen, and worshiping God, amen, all the time. It works. Amen. To fight off diseases of false doctrine and spiritual dementia. Amen. Anyone here have a piece of exercise equipment just gathering dust? I don't want to see the hands. Oh, my hands were up. Had good intentions. I've got some brand new tennis shoes in my closet. And every time I open my closet, it's an indictment against me of what I was going to do but never got around to. You see, all our good intentions were never quite realized, but prayer, praise, and preaching. Amen. Prayer, praise, and preaching. Prayer, praise, and teaching. By the number, prayer, praise, and preaching cannot be set aside after the newness of the experience wears off. Amen. Because there should be a newness and an experience that we have every time we walk into the house of God. Amen. They are the things that cause us to stay strong. Our spiritual survival as an apostolic movement depends on their regular use. Amen. Church service. Can't just skip one. I've heard preachers say, you know what? You had your time of worship. Now it's my turn to preach the word. You don't understand. You'll never go any further with your preaching if we're not entertaining the Spirit of God through worship. Hallelujah. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church that exhort and encourage us to do more. And that's why this church waits on God all of the time. We're saying, okay, God, the door's open. You can walk in here. Our song service is over. But God, you have access to every individual that is in this place. Amen. Someone said to me today, he said, our future is in our past. And it always will be. The future of the United Pentecostal Church is in the past of those founding fathers who laid down a foundation for what we should be, and we're not going to move the landmarks at all. Your future is in your past. You need to go back to that night or that morning when you were filled with the Holy Ghost. And you were so excited you couldn't get out of here fast enough in order to tell somebody else. Your future is in your past. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. The exercise session is now over. Would you stand with me? Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Some say, don't try this at home. I'm saying, please, please, try this at home. Amen. I worry, as I mentioned this morning, I worry about summertime when people are gone so much that all of a sudden they'll show up anemic because they didn't get preaching and praise and prayer. But you know what? This isn't something that's confined to these four walls. We are the church. We are. We're walking portable temples of God. And so we need to keep up the strength. Amen. And I know some of you think that I'm a drill sergeant. Now, that's all right. I'm just going to keep saying it over and over. These are the important things. Get the equipment going. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you had not enough exercise yet, this altar is open. Would you come? Would you come?